This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
Amen. Last week we celebrated 35 years of prayer, faith, and kingdom work. If you weren't here last week, you also missed. That's right, Dylan, wave your hand back there. Dylan joined our church. Okay, so we're thankful to have him as an official member. Dylan's been coming for a long time. Dylan and Laren are married. Laren, I'm going to ask you a question. Being pregnant, do you get a little emotional sometimes? Yeah, okay. I think most people might agree with that. And as I was doing the Lord's Supper, I got a little emotional. Because I looked at her, and she's rubbing her belly. And I think about this child that's getting ready to come into the earth. Come into this world, this wonderful world. And I thought, man, as we are getting ready to prepare for Advent and celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, and we're here doing communion, it was just a powerful connection at that moment. That's why I hate looking at the congregation when I do communion. It's just very difficult to make those personal connections. But Dylan, we're glad you joined the church. We're excited for the birth of your child, your son. Coming up soon, sooner than we can all imagine, I'm sure. But we're excited for that. I had the pleasure of spending the weekend, or yesterday, with our grandson. Eric, I know you and Kisha spent the weekend with your grandchildren as well. And that just is an amazing time when you get to spend time with them. And as I was studying, we'll talk about a little connection here. And I'm thinking, you know, as we celebrated 35 years of the church last week, the church message was, we are still the church. And this week's message is just a continuation of the gospel song and the gospel. We will go forward. And church, we must press on and go forward. And it's hard sometimes when you're faced with certain circumstances to press forward, is it not? Some days it is hard to get out of bed and press forward and go on. And I was raised in a family, there were seven of us, my mom and dad, my sister, and I had three other brothers, one of them being a twin brother, looks just like me, unfortunately. Poor us. No, I'm just kidding. But there were seven of us, and when my father passed away, this was 30-some years ago, it was in June, and my birthday was in August, and my birthday was the next family event that we had. And my mom thought, oh goodness, what will we do, and how will it be the same? And first of all, it won't. So don't try and make things the same when they're not. But it was really amazing as we were all there together celebrating our birthday, my twin brother and I's birthday. There was one person missing, my father. And that hole seemed so big. And that group of seven all of a sudden seemed so small and so tiny. I thought, my goodness, how will we move on? How will we get up and press on? We sang a song today, My Savior's Love. And Kisha said, would you like to say a word, Adam, since it's your father's favorite song? I said, oh, no. I couldn't get through saying anything about it. And I told him about a gigantic cross that hung in the middle of our church that was made out of old pews when we renovated our church. And last week they took that cross down as the church is closing down and moving on to another building. And the pictures really to me were heartbreaking. It's just a big wooden cross, but it was so special. Hanging up above that sanctuary. And they took it down. And I thought, my goodness, how will they press on? How will we press on? And so as I think about our family trying to press on from the loss of my father, I thought, oh goodness, there's another group. There's still six of us. By the way, us six, we're still hanging out. Praise God, my mother will be 89 this month. I know, that's what I said. She has grandchildren. She has great-grandchildren now. And the six of us are strong. And that family is big. And the family is growing. And so there will be times of fullness, as I said last week. And then times of want, times where we have everything we need, and other times where we're lacking. And that's life, and that's church life as well. But we pressed on nonetheless. Turn to Acts chapter 1, if you would. We're going to read about another group that had the same thing going on. They lost one and thought, however, will we press on? Acts chapter 1 in the New Testament. Jesus Christ, He's been crucified. He's died. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. We talk about this every Easter, and then maybe not a whole lot after that. But it is absolutely relevant to the church and the church pressing on. And so as the disciples are gathering around Jesus over the next 40 days, appeared to them. He's appeared. He said things. He's done things. He's made His presence known. And it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which He was taken up, after He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself, alive after suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It says, being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Church, that's a hard thing to do. But he commanded them to wait. And wait for the promise of the Father, which, He said, you have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. Again, another difficult situation for the church, for believers. We want to know. God, I've got this communication with You. Can You not tell us? He said, it's not for you to know. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So He tells us we're going to receive power, but He also says, hey, you've got something to do, church. You're going to be My witnesses. Verse 9, now when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. They said, He's going to come back down. So now the disciples had this guy leading them for a couple years. They followed Him. One of their own gave Him up to the authorities to arrest Him and then crucify Him. They denied Him. They saw Him crucified. Then they saw the resurrection. We're witness to that. And then they saw Him over a period of time. But now, they watched as He went up into heaven. Now they lost their leader. What must we do now? They had to choose to what? Go forward. Many of us, wherever we are, or have been, or are going to be, have to choose to go forward. So now the disciples have gathered in the upper room, doing what? Praying. Waiting. Again, difficult things for the church to do. Sometimes we get tired of waiting on God to move. Moses, his followers, tired of God. Well, okay, this can't be right. Let's just do this. Jonah, God, You want me to go where? That way, I'm going there. You, God, You want me to what? Me, God, You want me to what? We get tired of waiting on God to move. God, You know my needs. You should answer this much sooner. I mean, I'm getting desperate, God. Hey, I got an idea, Adam. Why don't you pray and wait? Sorry, God, you want me to what? Pray and wait. Yeah, pray and wait. I'll tell you when to act. Okay. So now they had to choose someone to replace Judas, and they choose Matthias. Now turn over to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I think we sang about that today. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit has now revealed Himself and come into their presence, given them different tongues. And the wait was now over. But now the questions began. And what were the questions they were asking? Are they crazy? They're speaking in crazy tongues. Oh no, I got it. They're drunk. Peter responds and said, they can't be drunk. It's only this time. And that's too early for them to be drunk. He said, they are full of new wine. No, not yet. As the disciples gathered, and they all are speaking in the different tongues, Acts chapter 2, verse 36. And there's a lot of important stuff in between there, but I'm trying to get to the meat of this. We will go forward. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hey, make sure you guys know God made this man Lord and Christ. And by the way, that man that God made, He said, you all crucified Him. Throughout the book of Acts, in the first couple chapters, they love reminding the people, oh yeah, that's the guy you crucified. Oh, by the way, you hung him on a cross. Oh, by the way, you crucified him. Repeated throughout the book of Acts. Now, there's also a message repeated throughout the book of Acts. And it says, let all of them know this man whom God has made Lord in Christ, you crucified him. And in verse 37, it says, now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. This really bothered them all of a sudden. They were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I get it. God made him Lord in Christ. We crucified him. What must we do? Peter made it pretty simple. He said, there's two things. Verse 38, Peter said to them, repent. And then the second thing, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Dylan and Laren are going to quit coming to church if I keep pointing them out. But verse 39 says, for the promise is to you, Dylan and Laren, and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And that's another thing we think when we lead the family and we make a decision, this is what our family will now do. We are changing the family tree. and we are changing the direction of the family. Back in those days, that was a big deal. You wanted to follow that and follow it for generations. So that's why it says this promise isn't just for you, but it's for you and your children. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about shining our light in dark places. And we talked about them being in the jail. And here came the guard after the earthquake and all the doors were open. He assumed everyone split. Said, hang on, we're all here. Count us, check us out. He said, oh my goodness, what now? They talked to him about their faith. And said he and his family were saved. They changed a generation. And presumably a future generation. They had all repented and were baptized, it said. Church, that's what we're about. We're about being witnesses. He said there in chapter 1, you all must be witnesses. You have action I need you to do. Chapter 1, verse... Let me find the beginning of that verse. Sorry, 7. 8, sorry. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Oh my goodness, what must we do? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for all of us and our children and our relatives and our friends and as many as the Lord God will call. This world needs God right now, church. This world needs to return back to God. He's calling people back to Him. There's violence. There's animosity. There's anger. God's Word tells us how to deal with anger. Just speak it and get it out of your system and it'll be good. No! He tells us to watch our tongue and watch what we say. I get we have differences. In churches, there are differences. But He doesn't call us to anger and violence and hatred. And He doesn't call us to separation. Come together. One God, one faith. They were all in one accord. They had one purpose. We have to find our purpose and meet that purpose. The Father's influence, as it says, connected to several generations. And it was a big deal if a father in this day and time said, we will follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Think about it. They've heard about it for thousands of years. Hey, the Messiah is coming. And then they had to choose to believe that's Him and He's here. And we will follow Him and we will follow His teaching. And we have the same thing to do today, that we must choose to follow Him and follow His teaching. By the way, sometimes that takes you guys going home during the week and cracking this thing open, saying, really, what does it tell me to do? What are my challenges? How can I respond to my challenges? You have to know yourself. Let a man examine himself. We just read before the Lord's table. I'll close with this verse 40 in Acts chapter 2. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Still true today. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And I think, you know, when they go through that, it says, now all who believed in verse 44, all who believed were together. They had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. As we choose to go forward, as we choose to rejoice and be glad in the day that the Lord has made, as we choose to be Christ followers and examples and disciples and witnesses, ambassadors, the fragrance or aroma of Christ, the world is looking at us. And trust me, they're ready to point a finger and say, oh, you screwed up. You made a mistake. But we have to choose to pick up our cross daily and crucify the flesh. To press in and press on. To lead and grow the church universal. Today, you may need to choose to repent. You may need to choose to be baptized. If you haven't been baptized, I don't care how old you are. Make that choice, make that decision to be baptized. Choose to rededicate your life to Christ, to a deeper, closer relationship, to a greater following. But choose to be different as a Christ follower today by going forward and following Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the message of your word, the power of the disciples to press on. Lord, we thank you for the strength that you give us to press on. Lord, that you allow us to press on in spite of what we have endured, what we have been through, what we are going through. But you have given us strength in the midst of our weakness. Lord, you have given us a way out of those times of trouble, out of the darkness. Your Son, Jesus Christ, was our way out of the darkness. Lord, help us to look to Him, to lean on Him, to follow Him as we press on, as we are still the church. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.